I know that talking about this the way we have in the last day or two, plus what you just heard from Judy Hintz, I know it's really kind of exasperating and irritating and depressing to think that the institutions that we put so much faith in and so much money into and we put our kids into could be under such stress. And it does represent at one level a cultural existential threat, what has become of our education establishment. One approach, in fact, it has been a continuing approach, is a top-down approach from the national government. Every generation recycles federal involvement in education. It usually follows well-intentioned stuff. George Bush, GW, came to Iowa during his first go-around to run for president, promising no child left behind. We elected this fella by saying, well, just put this fella in charge. Or Ronald Reagan. Well, we put him in charge saying he would dismantle the Department of Education. Well, he got in power and gave us Bill Bennett. GW, we put him in power and he gave us Ted Kennedy. No child left behind. We keep not learning from our past, and now we have, instead of, in addition to No Child Left Behind, an outcomes-based education, increased federal funding, now pitching the whole idea of another top-down approach called Common Core. Tamara Scott, you've been working on this from, well, for the last several years. One form or another, you've been pondering this. Why?
Because I care about our students, and unlike a car or a toy, you can't recall kids. If they're programmed incorrectly, we've lost a generation. And as you were saying before we went on air, Iowa used to be number one. And within a generation's time, we're struggling.
Absolutely struggling. We're spending more now than we ever have. We assign more resources to this process than ever before. And we can, there's almost an inverse relationship between how much we spend and their education results, and they're pondering even more and more top-down approach, and the new testing materials and the computer-generated interfaces with Common Core. And they finally, people started to figure this out, including Senator Zahn, who attended your meeting yesterday. He introduced legislation to pull the plug on this. You've had the last two governors, though, sign letters of intent to obligate the state of Iowa to the continuing process, and the Iowa Department of Education has already adopted 85% to 90% of what the Common Core was all about, even though we said we still retain control. So I've been following this enough now to know that I don't believe anything that anybody says at this level. Well, so is it too late to do anything about this?
Well, we're behind in the battle, that's true. But I believe that Iowa kids are worth the fight. I'm not willing to back down. And Iowa kids are just simply too good to be left common. And, you know, I look back to Phyllis Schlafly on the ERA. She started, the thing was almost done.
Right.
And because of one woman's effort, without the internet and the help of the communication tools we have today, she turned that around. So we can turn this around if we're willing. This is when legislators start paying attention, is when the people get activated and motivated and start calling and emailing.
Well, so what do you want?
There's a couple bills up there today. We just went through a treacherous subcommittee meeting. Sandy, Representative Sandy Salmon, did an excellent job in what I would say hostile territory, frankly.
What's the nature of the hostile territory?
People interrupting the chair. I've never seen anything like it. People interrupting the chair, even people in her own party that should have been there. You know, you talk about both the governors have signed on to this bill and this memorandum of understanding. We should come back to pages three on that, which says Iowa legislators, in fact, will not have the power to any longer make decisions over our education, because that assessment will then go to the Smarter Balance Consortium, that we agree to their decisions and will remove regulations, barriers, and statutes in the way. Okay, so they've signed that.
Now, let's slow down. You're assuming everybody knows everything you're talking about, and that just isn't true. So Governor Culver began this. When this started to be pitched by the Deep Carpet Country people, you had Bill Gates and you had all the usual suspects, and say, hey, we need to have a Common Core. We no longer should have people chasing each other all around the countryside. We should have something. We're all on the same page together. We need to achieve educational excellence, and we got to have something we can all agree on. And they began to sell this to the statewide, state-by-state basis. And Governor Culver signed on to this first, and then in the first few weeks of the Branstad 2 administration, he signed off on this as well, and committed our resources and not our resources, but our commitments to this, which included the, what did you call it, the SMART?
The Memorandum of Understanding for Smarter Balance Assessment
now
Consortium.
Now, what's that?
That is the testing consortium. There are two, and actually Jane Robbins is the expert that I'd love for folks to hear from.
Introduce us to your friend.
She's from American Principles Project. She's been studying this issue for quite some time, writing on policy, working with states across the nation in strategizing to stop Common Core.
Why?
Because Common Core is not only illegal and unconstitutional, but it also is a recycling of everything that has made public education so bad over the last 50 years.
Like what?
Like outcome-based education, for example, which, to define that, if people don't remember what that was essentially the model involves diminishing academic knowledge. The idea is that students don't really need to know content. They don't need to know Shakespeare. They don't need to know this, to know that. What they need to do is to be able to demonstrate certain processes and to have the...
So they can look it up.
They can look it up. You can always Google it. Why bother to learn anything?
Right.
So they focus more on the correct skills, they call them, and attitudes and dispositions, and you've got to have perseverance and productive struggle.
All
and,
the old terminology, affective education.
Exactly.
How you feel about yourself rather than effective education.
Exactly. Okay. And that's what Common Core is. It is a reiteration of that. They now don't call it outcomes. They call it competencies. But it's exactly the same thing. So our concern is that because we are focused very strongly on protecting parental rights, because we think that parents are the sovereign earthly authority when it comes to educating their children. So they should be the ones making the decisions, and rather than being dictated to by the so-called experts in Washington.
Put your earphones on for just a moment, because you just hit the magic button. I played this yesterday for a little bit. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you think that the kids belong to the parents. The people devising Common Core have a different idea.
Some towns or cities and states have no standards or low standards, and others have extremely high standards, when the children belong to all of us and would move.
All right, so the children belong to all of us, or they don't belong to the parents. They're community property, apparently.
Well, that's a progressive idea from over a century. John Dewey was the one who really advocated all of that, and the people who wrote Common Core and developed it and are pushing it worship at the shrine of John Dewey. So that is the idea. The children belong to all of us, meaning when they belong to all of us, that means they belong to the state, capital state, uppercase. So parents don't have the right to reject what the experts tell them they ought to be doing. And if the experts come up with this, then we have to go with it because they say it'll work.
People have been trying to and successfully latched on to government education ever since it was contemplated. It was always the progressive movement fantasizes, always has, about latching on to the entire thing and having top-down solutions. And Horace Mann and those people said, hey, all you have to put us in charge. We'll get those crazy, evil, religious-infected parents away from the kids. And then just within a few years after we're in charge, you can erase most of the criminal statutes from the books because the natural ability and goodness of those kids will come flowering forth once we remove them from the evil of religion. And that's not worked out very well.
Not really, no. John Dewey described that as the prejudices of the parents. You needed to get rid of the prejudices of the parents, which he was talking about the faith of the parents.
Yes.
So that's what they're trying to do with this. And one thing that is interesting, there's with the English standards from Common Core, just as an aside here, they have an appendix. It's called Appendix B that is all the list of recommended texts. It's not mandatory. You don't have to use it. But Dr. Terrence Moore of Hillsdale College points out that there's not a single text on that list that has any basis in religion. All of the things that we learned that were religiously based, John Milton, Paradise Lost, Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Remember studying those? Those are all gone. There's nothing on that list that has a faith base to it.
Well, there's a reason for that. And they practiced on Sweden more than a generation ago. Said, hey, you can't sell socialism to a group of Christians. And because Christians won't put up with thou shalt not steal. You can't have socialism. So rather than just kill everybody like they did in the old Soviet Union, they just said, oh, we'll just take over the education system and sever the next generation from their history and their religious moorings. And in one generation, Sweden went from a Christian country to a secular state and a socialist secular state. The Myrdals, I think, the people who were the socialist thinkers behind that. And the United States just doing exactly the same thing a half a generation later.
The progressives who are in charge of all this really do look at education as the way they are going to control the future. That you do that by educating, or rather training, the children. They're not interested in education. They're interested in training them to be cogs in the economic machine, essentially. And it will be an economic machine managed by the experts, by the really smart people.
Well, you guys just want to say no to the now the claims of Common Core. And it sounds like what you were saying is this is just another way of saying no to outcomes-based education. This is another way of saying no to progressive education in general and the agenda of the NEA and everybody else that wants to latch on to education system to play games with the kids. What are you guys willing to say yes to? What do you want?
True academic learning. There's an article in the Register, and I've not got to read it yet, but apparently the reporter there last evening was talking about the fact that standards will be less. They're calling it rigorous standards, but they'll actually be less. The math will not be helpful for students who are wanting to go to a college. Many will be forced into a community college, and I have no issue with community colleges. Someone's choosing to do that, but there'll be limitations. And, Jane, I'll let you speak to those limitations.
We'll come back here in a moment. We're talking with another group of people here about the Common Core stuff, and I hope I'm not overdoing it here, but a lot of our listeners, Tamara, are already up to speed on this. They mm-hmm. already know why it's bad. They just want to know, can we pull the plug on this? And we'll come back here in a moment on 1040 WHO Radio. Jane Robbins is here, the American Principles Project. Tamara Scott, Concerned Women for America. They had a meeting last night at the
airport. Holiday.
And a lot of people showed up, a lot of good conversation. So what's left? Because is the legislation to pull the plug on this, is it going to go anywhere?
We have one more subcommittee today with House File 2140. We're hopeful that it might make it out of subcommittee, and that would remove the I think it makes it optional for districts who've already invested in the Common Core aligned curriculum if they choose to go that route, but it doesn't force other districts into it.
The governor said, hey, we're not doing this. We're not going to force this on. Iowa's still going to have its own standards, but I was looking at some charts that you sent me. We've basically adopted almost all of the core curriculum at the state level well before the legislature even knew what was going on.
Right.
So I don't understand, just from a pure power point of view, from the legislature point of view, why would they do anything that signs away their discretion, their constitutional, Iowa constitutional discretion, to be the arbiters and to have control of much to do with what goes on in the education establishment? Why would they sign away their discretionary power this way?
They did it to try to get federal money. That's what happened with the Race to the Top competition.
Okay.
The federal government attached the chance to get Race to the Top money to these standards. If you want to do that, you have to adopt these standards. You have to adopt these standards that are, quote, substantially identical across a consortium of states, close quote.
Okay.
That's why they did it. Now, Iowa did not get Race to the Top money, so you gave it all away for no apparent reason, but you've committed to it.
Why didn't we get Race to the Top money? Why were we excluded? And what is that? That was so to meet the standards of No Child Left Behind, that we sought waivers from the Obama administration because we didn't think that Iowa schools were could achieve the minimum goals of No Child Left Behind?
Well, the waiver is a separate issue. Race to the Top was a stimulus-funded, remember the stimulus bill? That was
right.
The stimulus-funded competition that the federal government did. They graded all the states. This is so far from state sovereignty. So all the states came with hat in hand, supplicants to the federal government. And it filled out these lengthy applications, hundreds of pages, telling all the things they would do if they got the Race to the Top money, all of which had to be approved by the federal government. And the feds decided on the ones that they liked the best. And I'm sure there were a lot of political considerations, too. And Iowa did not
voting patterns. Money. Well, I was already voted for Obama. Why does he have to bribe us?
Well, one could ask that question, yes. The waiver, the No Child Left Behind, established a certain list of things that schools had to do. You had to achieve proficiency in this and that for by 2014. And it wasn't going to happen because you had to get 100% proficiency, and that's not going to happen in this world. So the Obama administration decided to do a waiver. So you had to get the waiver. They strongly encouraged you to adopt the Common Core standards to get the waiver. But by that point, Iowa, when the waiver thing came around, Iowa had already signed on the dotted line for Common Core. And they
so we gave away our sovereignty. We have nothing to show for
exactly.
it. And I didn't even get a stinking T-shirt.
Exactly.
Or porridge for your birthright, as she said last night.
So, well, is that because somebody signed that then? Is that, I was reading part of it. It says you can opt out. It says we can opt out, right? We don't have to.
You can withdraw. The state can withdraw from it. Sure.
Since we're not getting any money anyway, there's no downside. So we don't have to pay anything back.
And no, you don't have to pay anything back. And the interesting thing is that the people who are pro Common Core, they act as though if you withdraw from Common Core, then you're just out in the wilderness and you have no standards and your children are wandering around helpless because they don't know what to learn. That's not true. If you withdraw from Common Core, you can do whatever you want to. You have an infinite number of things that you can do. You can come up with something that actually works. You can adopt the old Massachusetts standards, which were, as the Common Core proponents admit, much better than Common Core. You can outcompete every state in this country if you get out of Common Core.
We are having trouble setting our own proficiency standards. We've set them at 40%. That's our target, 40%. That's 40 percentile. We have the lowest proficiency targets in the Midwest here in Iowa. On purpose. So if we aimed any higher, and we're not meeting those.
Right.
Look at all the metro schools, and Des Moines is on the bottom of the list, almost at the bottom of the list, one of the worst school districts in the state we're spending the most money on. And if we elevate those standards to the Massachusetts one, that would reveal an even wider gap of educational attainment than we are already aware of, and especially since we've already sought waivers from No Child Left Behind.
Well, the interesting thing about the Massachusetts standards is that before they went into effect, Massachusetts was about in the middle of the pack as far as state test scores.
That's where we are
scores.
At the moment.
Okay. So they did the new standards, which went to a classical education model, which is the opposite of Common Core.
Yes.
Classical education is you learn content and you have direct instruction and you don't do all the faddish stuff. You do what worked for hundreds of years. That's what they did, and they saw their achievement soar because the students were now being taught differently. If you continue to teach students according to this Common Core progressive fad stuff, you're going to get the same results. But this time, Common Core will just try to dumb everything down a little bit so you'll look like you're doing better.
Well, so if I understand it, when you take the tests online, the assessment measure can literally predict how the kid is going to do in the rest of the test and then adjust the rest of the questions to that reduced standards during the middle of the test. You're both shaking your heads yes. Is that a correct assessment of what's being proposed?
Yes, it's a computer adaptive test. So if you get the first question wrong, then you get easier questions. So someone suggested maybe the teacher should tell the kids to get the first question wrong, and then they get the easier questions and they look like they're doing great.
This is just bizarre.
You can't make it up.
Well, and then talk about the fact that some of these tests take, because they're computerized, take 58 days. So you're...
What do you mean they take 58 days? You mean 58 days of testing?
No. No, what we're talking about is because so many school districts don't have the technology required to do this.
Okay.
Not only the computers, but the IT personnel, the bandwidth, all of that.
So in addition to not... Okay, all right, so is it going to cost a lot of money then?
Oh, yes, it's going to cost a ton of money.
And, then where does that money come from?
Taxes.
But here in Iowa, can we can we make the people in Massachusetts pay for our new stuff?
Well, you can try, but it's primarily going to come from your property taxes, probably.
Really? So the new federal standards, Common Core, the cost of the implementation is going to be a massive tax hike.
Yes, because in Georgia, for example, Georgia got $400 million in Race to the Top money, which sounds like a lot, except it's over
a big state.
It's a big state, and it's over 4 years. So that's $100 million a year in an education budget of $13 billion a year. So it's really, so we sold our soul for practically nothing. But you agreed to do the Common Core standards, and you didn't get anything. So it's all on you. You're not getting federal money for it. Nothing is going to help you out.
But some of those kids, that 58-day lapse, will have 58 days of instruction by the time they take that computerized test than the kids who...
What she's talking about is that another set they were talking about, because their technology challenges were so great, they just didn't have enough computers, that they would have to run their kids through the Smarter Balance test in stages. And one assessment director from the largest district in the state said it would take him 58 days to run all of his kids from one middle school through the Smarter Balance test. And Smarter Balance says, oh, well, that's fine. You can use a 12-week testing window. Well, what does that happen to the children who take the test in the first week have 3 months less instruction time than the kids who take it in the last week? And what does it do for test security? How do you keep any questions
Especially in the day of social media and, and cell phones and all that kind of stuff.
Sure, it's ludicrous.
Well, I'm just encouraged about one thing. There's somebody someplace is doing it right, and you've intrigued me about this Massachusetts thing. Well, if they can, and you're talking about direct instruction. We were just talking with Judy Hintz during the last hour. That's all she does to fix the results of what the government schools don't do. She just sits them down one-on-one with an instructor and goes, direct instruction, verbal training, sentence structure, composition, drilling the skills. That's what they were supposed to be subjected to in a public school setting. But now they have to pay extra just to get back to where they are supposed to be in the beginning.
Well, some people have suggested that the tutoring services are really behind Common Core because they're going to make a boatload of money out of this.
Do you guys have a few more minutes? Can you stick around for a little bit? I know I've put a lot of information on your shoulders in the last day or two. Maybe it's a little overwhelming, but I can't think of a more important long and short-term subject than the future of our kids and the ability for us to educate them. Maybe this is just a little bit overwhelming, but if you'd like to be part of the conversation, Tamara Scott is here and Jane Robbins in the studio. We'll come back right after our farm markets, and we'll open the phone lines if you'd like to be part of the conversation at 284-1040 or 800-469-4295 in a moment. Tamara Scott is here, Concerned Women of America, and Jane Robbins from America in Principles Project. The legislature is pondering further implementing Common Core, and a number of community organizations and parents groups, I hope not too late, have said, hey, we haven't invested any money in this yet. We don't owe anybody money. We can walk away from this. We don't have to implement it any further. As a matter of fact, we could go back and recover what we used to have. Now we have a working model. This is to what Massachusetts has done. They just decided to go and restore the classic education model. I just spent some time a couple of weeks ago, Jane Robbins, up in Idaho. There is a town in Idaho, a little university town, but there's a church school there. It's a classic Christian education school. They're teaching their kids Latin in kindergarten. Well, in addition to in the elementary, I don't know about kindergarten, but in elementary, the kids are learning. They are learning at a high level, way above the national norm. And there's nothing particularly interesting about that part of Idaho's gene pool that's any different than here. Iowa farm kids used to be at the highest level of academics. It's not a genetic problem we're having here in Iowa. This is methods and philosophy and worldview created problem that we could turn around in less than a generation if we decide to do so. But, as you guys just discovered, you hit the fan over at the State House, where vested interest groups and getting latching onto other people's money threw you guys in front of the bus. But while they are giving up their own sovereignty as legislators, I just find that just an amazing contradiction. What do you think?
Well, it's not, unfortunately, limited to Iowa. We see this all over the country. State legislators have become, in many respects, as the people have become, gradually acclimated to the idea that the federal government is going to do this and they're going to do that, and you have these federal requirements and those federal requirements.
Well,
and
I liked what you said earlier, that it's unconstitutional.
Sure.
That should end a conversation, but it doesn't.
It should. We had a hearing in another state, and one of the educrats stood up and said, well, we've heard all of this testimony about how this is unconstitutional and illegal, and she said, I don't know anything about that, and I don't care about that. I just think that the standards are good. And I said, well, there, in a nutshell, is what's wrong with our country, when we don't care whether it's constitutional. There's a reason that our founding fathers set things up the way they did, and we depart from that at our peril.
Yeah, and we have been doing that for quite a while. Now we're at the much-deserved bottom of the heap. I'd like to fix this, Tamara Scott. I think this is an emergency.
It is.
What can we do to help you guys push this forward?
Contact your legislators. Originally, they were bypassed in the process. They went through the governor's office. Absolutely. And with money as an enticement for most states who are hurting in a depressed economic time. But now you can bring them into it. The governor signed an executive order. If we can take him at his word and his intent not to do the data collection to protect Iowa students, then we could get behind the bill today. HF 2140 takes it out, makes it voluntary for those who wish to do it. Brad Zahn's bill, SF 2123, yet to go through a subcommittee, SF Senate File 2123, simply takes Common Core out of the code, period. We would go back to those standards we had that Iowa people had done, 2006. It's not the Iowa Core. People need to understand, Iowa Core, Common Core are the same thing. You can look on the Department of Education's website. They are the same thing for all practical purposes.
Now, you say data collection. You're saying it like it's an evil thing, and you haven't really explained what you mean by it. Data collection by whom and for what purpose?
I'll defer to Jane. The federal government is prohibited by statute from maintaining a national student database. So what they have been doing since the early 2000s, this predates the Obama administration, is they have been incentivizing the states with money to build data systems. And those data systems have to be built identically across all the states. So what happens when you have that is that you can share data because everyone's system is the same. Now, why do they want to do that? Well, because remember, this is a workforce development model. What the point that they are trying to achieve is to develop a workforce for the managed economy, and it will be managed by the experts who know more than we do, and we can't go with this just the free enterprise, because who knows where that would lead. We have to have managed by the experts. So they want to be able to track students, as Arne Duncan has said, to be able to track them from preschool through the workforce so that they can look at everything that they've done, every course that they've taken, and see where they go. The federal government has something called the National Education Data Model, which is a list of data points that the states are encouraged, not required yet, but encouraged to collect, and it's over 400 data points, including healthcare history and disciplinary history and family income range and voting status and all kinds of things, bus stop schedule, I mean, it goes on and on. So we don't know how much the individual states are collecting. Some are further down the road than others. But once that sort of data gets into the system, they want to be able to share it, and there are already efforts going on. I know Georgia is part of one, to share data among certain states. And they have just the best of intentions. They want to be able to say, oh, well, this will help the child's education if we can share this not only with the Department of Education, but with other agencies in the state, like your Department of Labor or Health and Human Services or whatever. And because then you get a what they call in Tennessee the 360-degree view of the child.
So when they say permanent record, they mean permanent record.
Everybody used to make jokes about your permanent record. That now that permanent record.
It really did follow you around. Holy bejeevers.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned Arne Duncan a few seconds ago. He's the Obama ed czar, as I recall. We have some sound of him talking. To whom and what about?
It's on the Charlie Rose Show. And this is his view of what education should be.
Okay. Arash, you ready for that?
I think our school should be open 12, 13, 14 hours a day. So it's not just lengthening.
So 8 to 8 or something like that?
Yes. And let me tell you what, not just lengthening, obviously, the school day, but a wide variety of after-school activities. At home, we attached healthcare clinics to about 24 of our schools. Where schools truly become the centers of the community, great things happen. So I think we need the schools open much longer hours.
So keep them open 12 hours a day, 12 months a year.
Yes.
12 hours a day, 12 months a year.
And I would go to 6 or 7 days a week, not just Monday through Friday.
7 days a week.
Schools
so the school becomes a center of community life.
Where the school becomes a center of community life, great things are going to happen for those families and great things are going to happen
for
those children.
Then tell me why that hasn't happened before.
All right, so that's an interesting world. See, this is what centralizers often do, and empire builders often do. Whatever the tool they have, everything, the old cliche is, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If the only tool you have to fix what ails society is the education establishment, if it actually is reparative and therapeutic, why not keep it open 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, because it's the center of the universe.
Well, remember what used to be the center of a community? The churches were the center of the community. So they want to replace the churches with the schools.
Well,
they already have.
And we haven't replaced it with school. We just replaced it with a different church. It's just a different denomination, that's all. but they're compelling tithing, though. That's the see. We don't have separation of church and state anymore. We have compelled tithing to the state education church.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. So they want to combine all of these things, and as you look into the Obamacare mess, you can't look at things in isolation. You can't look at what they're doing in healthcare versus what they're doing in education.
Well, I have to ask. I mean, if they can actually do the data collection and every computer system is identical and it all talks to each other and is as functional as you're describing, why is everything else in government? I mean, the Obamacare is failing because their computer system's not working. How come they can make it work in this arena but not in another?
Well, we don't know if they'll make it work or not. We know that they'll give it their best shot. And we also know that if they're not making it work, what will happen, and this is only a question of time, is that this data will be hacked. We know that. Even if they have the best of intentions, it will be hacked.
Well, what's your worst fear? Who cares?
I think in Louisiana, Social Security numbers were allowed. They were hacked. New York is pulling away from this because of information that's been hacked. In fact, the New York State Union of Teachers, NYSUT, is pulling away from Common Core because of the implementation. The rollout hasn't been very good, like another program we know.
Okay. So this is Obama Ed. We have
Obamacare
and now Obamacare. So what should have been resisted in the medical establishment's power grab, we should have caught on and been warned about and rejected a long time ago, Obamacare. Should we call it that? Obamacare should be rejected.
Yep.
Because this predates Obama at one level. I mean, the establishment always latches onto this stuff.
Lamar Alexander saying the same thing as Arne Duncan in 1989. So it's not just one party. I'm working with liberal Democrats. I'm working with people who are part of the unions, people who are from every side coming together because they're seeing that this is not good for the kids. You lose local control. You will not have input in what your child will be learning.
If that's the case, then why is this a hard sell to do away with at the State House? Because I'm fascinated by this. The only constituency for this, it seems, is the establishment itself. Nobody else wants it. Back in a moment at 1040 WHO. Well, hang with us in a couple of pretty intense hours. And then yesterday as well, we were talking about the Iowa education establishment. In the studio with us, we have two folks, Tamara Scott and Jane Robbins. All right, we have a little time remaining. Let's see if we can put this together. First off, the defensive part, trying to keep this away and say no. Just saying no to this. It sounds like, Tamara, that this is a long shot. Even just saying no at this moment. It's a machine that is running on its own.
It is. You're absolutely right. And I think It was in 2008 that the legislature gave their authority over to the State Board of Education in adopting the standards, and they're the ones who brought in the National Common Core. It was integrated in 2010. They integrated both Common Core and Iowa Core.
And so, we were talking off the air, Jane, you said this is big, big, big money in action.
It is huge. We were told by a legislator somewhere else who has dealt with this on the national level, he said, you have no idea how much money is opposed to you on this. Because it's not only the federal government, it's the big companies that are trying to protect their market share, and they're being told that they will get workers that they don't have to train. We've got the government involved in trying to protect that, in the private foundations, which are huge, and they're all in it, and all these people move from one to the other, and they all get jobs, and it is just a massive, incestuous enterprise.
That is a great description. Jane Robbins, Tamara Scott, thank you.